Okay, good morning everyone. So today, you probably guessed from the reading, I wanted to share a few thoughts from Isaiah about fasting. So I actually got the idea while we were doing the daily readings last Saturday in Isaiah 58, of course. And it got me really excited because even though it's something we probably already know about, it's put in such a good and clear way, and I think there's so much we can remind ourselves of by looking at it again. So before I start, just like many other brothers say that get up here on Sundays, is that I put this excerpt together for myself, firstly to encourage myself and keep me constantly thinking about our amazing Creator, of course, and hopefully in the process I can bring some encouragement to you as well. Okay, so before we get into this as well, I just wanted to take a look at what fasting typically means to most people. So I think if we were to ask most people, religious or not, the general meaning that we get is fasting means to go without food. So that sounds right, doesn't it? So even the dictionary backs that up as well. It just reads something along the lines of fasting is to abstain from food, refrain from eating, deny oneself food, etc., etc., etc. So now, even if we extend that meaning to a religious perspective, then fasting can often include humbling ourselves before God as well. As an example, in 2 Samuel 12, David was fasting, or he didn't eat, while the child was with Bathsheba was sick, humbling himself as well. And that matches with the common meaning of fasting, but is that all it's really about? Well, yeah, in some cases, fasting is just about not eating food and being humble. It has its place, but that's not the sort of fasting we want to look at today. So surely there's something more than just that. Surely there's a greater purpose to fasting before God. We'll come to that in this reading from Isaiah and see what it's all about. You can all see where I'm going with this, especially if you recall this morning's reading. So keep that thought in mind. It's more than just being humble, of course, and not eating. So before we go right into this, I just want to pose three main questions about fasting. What is it? What is the purpose of fasting? What should we really be doing during the fast? And how often should we fast? Well, that last question is somewhat obsolete, because we don't really fast in this day and age, do we? Because we have the teachings of Christ. And we want to live that and try and do that every day. So keep those other two questions in mind. What is the purpose of fasting, and what should we really be doing during the fast? I'll explain more later. Okay, so let's read through from Isaiah 58. It's a good one to turn up, and it's probably the only passage we'll be looking at. It'd be really good to follow along. And while you're doing that, I just wanted to say that these verses in Isaiah 58, they do a really good job of providing their own exhortation on a simple read-through. But I want to build on that anyway. So starting at Isaiah 58, we know the people are not doing so right by God. So coming in at verse 1, Isaiah says to the people, "Shout aloud, don't hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellions, and to the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me day after day, and are eager to know my ways. As they were a nation that practices righteousness, and has not forsaken the justice of their God. They ask me to reveal just decisions. They are eager to draw near to God. Why have we fasted, they ask, but you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves, they ask, but you take no notice?" So we'll pause there. What have we just read? What were people doing during their fast? Well, it was just a normal sort of fast, wasn't it? They didn't eat, and they humbled themselves. And I think we can gather from other instances that this sort of fasting, they were sort of doing it for themselves, weren't they? It was about appearances and looking good to others. But nothing more than that, really. And the next verse follows a similar thought. It starts to get really good, so keep on following. "Look, on your fast day you serve your own interests and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only for quarrelling and for fighting and for hitting with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and have your voice heard on high. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? Merely a day for a person to humble himself? Is it merely for bowing down one's head like a bulrush? For lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Okay, so pausing again. We know that fasting is not about just humbling ourselves and not eating. He's saying, God won't hear them. But let's keep reading, because Isaiah does go on to give us some solid advice in verse 6 and onwards, where we have God's word saying, isn't this the fast that I have been choosing? To loose the bonds of injustice, and to untie the cords of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Okay, so straight away, you can see that fasting, it's definitely, it's not just about denying ourselves, is it? In fact, it's the total opposite from this verse. A period of fasting is all about doing things. So it's with the faith is the work, it's the doing. Anyway, so let's see in verse 7 what verse 7 has to say along the same lines. So jumping back in. Isn't it to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless and poor into your house when you see them naked, to cover him with clothing and not to rise yourself up from your own flesh and blood? Okay, so consider these two verses again. That sounds very, very much like the teaching of Jesus and later on by the Apostle Paul, doesn't it? I think we'll revisit that idea shortly. But for now, let's keep reading from verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Okay, pausing again. Whose light shall burst forth like the dawn? Yeah, our light. We actually had a good excerpt on that 2 Sundays ago about letting our light shine. But it gets better. If there is only one thing that you take from this morning, then the following verse is just about the best of the lot as far as encouragement goes. So let's keep reading from Isaiah 58 verse 8. And your healing will spring up quickly, and your vindication will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will guard your back. Then you'll call, and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help, and he'll respond. Here I am. Okay, so pausing again. We read this sort of thing all the time in the Bible, don't we? About how God will watch and care for us. But this passage, it's downright amazing. It's one of those things, as I was reading through it last Saturday, I was like, wow, that's a good one to talk about. Because it's all laid out. It's all laid out plain and simple for us. God has promised us that he will guard us and that he will answer when we're in trouble. And he has given us a criteria we can follow. That's pretty easy. Well, criteria is not, but he's laid it out nice and easy for us. But not only does he mention it once, if we read on, the criteria is iterated again. Let's have a look. Okay, so coming back in the end of verse 9 there. If you do away with the yoke among you, and pointing fingers and malicious talk, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted souls, then your light will rise in darkness, and your night will be like noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in parched places, and will strengthen your bones, and you'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Now, it's not easy, those requirements, is it? But God has given us 100% certainty that he's got our backs, he's got us covered, and he'll look out for us as long as we too look out for others and care for the needy, as we've just read, of course. And even though we get it wrong all the time, by God's amazing grace, of course, we have that opportunity open to us. So the Lord will guide and strengthen us. Just pause for a moment and think about that quote from verse 9 again. Then you'll call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help and he'll respond. Here I am. So I think now's a good time to reflect on another very similar teaching from James 1 verse 27. I think many of you will probably know it. Pure and undefiled religion before God is this: to take care of the orphans and widows who are suffering, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So again, just consider that. So, on a first read through of these passages, or these verses in Isaiah, what is the fasting that Isaiah talks about? Well, we've just read it and we know it. Certainly, it isn't just going without food and being humble. Isaiah talks about real fasting, a fasting that is done for the good of others, and as well, it helps ourselves. A way that we can let our light shine in the world around us by setting an amazing example wherever we can, and generally helping those around us. And of course, others see that and hopefully do likewise. Well, yeah, after reading this, I also want to find out what other writers, other people had to say about the topic. So I had a look at several sources, Christian sources, and they suggested that these verses in Isaiah 58 are talking about the Jubilee. And that could make perfect sense, because if we read in verse 6, "Isn't this the fast I have been choosing, to loose the bonds of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke?" Well, yeah, that matches pretty well with the year of Jubilee, doesn't it? But that's exactly what they were meant to do, wasn't it? But is that all these verses are talking about? Surely it's not just limited to the year of Jubilee, as some writers have suggested. And I highly doubt that Isaiah was just talking about a specific period of time limited to Jubilee. And I think verse 7 shows that this wasn't the case, because it talks about sharing bread with the poor and clothing the naked. And I don't think that was common practice at the time. I could be wrong there. Anyway, so even if Isaiah's words were specifically about the Jubilee, then we still need to remember that the year of Jubilee itself is just a shadow of future things, isn't it? Because it all points forward to the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. For example, any good master who followed God properly, he wouldn't hold on to his servants for the maximum period of time waiting for the Jubilee, would he? He could, because that was the law, but a good follower of God wouldn't, would he? Instead, he would treat his servants fairly all the time, not just at Jubilee, and possibly release them much earlier to make their own way, or even pay them as workers for their continued service. So moving on, other writers describe the works of Isaiah as talking about the Day of Atonement. And there's pretty good backing for that, because there's very similar words spoken about the feast month in Zechariah 7, which was almost a copy of these verses in Isaiah. It's worth a look if you wanted to compare it at a later stage, Isaiah to Zechariah, and then again to the teachings of Jesus and further by Paul in the New Testament. Anyway, here's one snippet from a comment that I found, and I think it's quite good. It reads as follows. "The Day of Atonement could have been seen in Israel as a time for having a depressing view of oneself. The fast recognized that even though animal sacrifices for sin were offered all year round, there was still the need for the people to annually confess their sins. It could have been quite depressing." I imagine it was. God through Isaiah presents a better picture, a picture of generosity towards others. Why? Well, the person who had experienced God's generosity in forgiveness should be willing to extend his own generosity to others as realization of the generosity that God had shown him. And that's the end of the snippet there. But still, while that may be the case, that it's talking about the Day of Atonement there, or one of the feasts, I don't think Isaiah's words, again, are just focused on that. The comment strongly points forward to the teaching of Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament as well. So even if that's what the words were initially for, to help the Israelites to better understand the Day of Atonement, there's still more to it. So on that note, let's tie in the idea of fasting with the New Testament. In a somewhat loose fashion, I suppose, but still, it's a critical teaching. So one of the three questions I mentioned earlier was, how often should we fast? And while it doesn't really come up in Isaiah, of course, we can still find the answer for it elsewhere. I think it's quite important for us to simply liken fasting to putting time aside to especially focus on something that God has asked of us, or even just to get our minds in the right place to get something done. So a fast is a good and effective way to dedicate some time to God and what he's asked of us. A special time to put extra effort into denying self. And it's something that maybe when we get stuck in the rut, that's a time to especially put some time aside, and fasting is a good option there. Anyway, now, it's all much easier said than done, isn't it? It's not an easy thing to serve our God. We mess it up all the time, but thankfully, our God is a patient and gracious God. And we've been given some great examples and constant reminders from His Word to remind ourselves to build up habits. Because without these habits, we will get nowhere, will we? It's not fasting. It's like a game plan. We need to constantly work on it to make sure we take time to focus on God, our Creator, and Jesus, our Saviour. We want to turn it into a good habit. And if we stick with it, then eventually, I pray that I will be able to do it more often. Maybe we only do it on Sundays like today. Or if we can't always make it, then maybe every couple of weeks. But then we can do other things during the week. Or we can build it up to every week. And we can add an extra time here and there to think on and study God's Word and do these things God's asked us. When he talks about the real fasting earlier on in Isaiah there. Okay. And yeah, eventually we want to get right up to the point where we're fasting, this idea of fasting, these things we do, we want it to become a way of life, don't we? A way of just, so serving God becomes our nature. So I just want to throw in a side thought here. Besides the instance in Matthew 6, verse 16, I don't think there are any other references from Jesus or any of the other authors in the New Testament about fasting. The only time it comes up is when other characters ask Jesus or various people about fasting. For example, Jesus was asked why John's disciples and the Pharisees fast often, and why Jesus' disciples did not fast also. And Jesus simply replied along the lines of what we read in Matthew and Mark 2, where he says, I am with my disciples, so they have no need to fast. But a time will come when I am gone, and they will fast. So what does that mean? So if you've got a better idea than what I'm about to propose, then please share with me. I think a possible answer for that is, when the disciples were with Jesus, he helped keep them on the right track, didn't he? Well, most of the time. But once Jesus was taken away, they would need to take time or make a special effort to set aside time to focus on what really mattered and keep them firm in the faith. Now, I did say that fasting is not really mentioned in the New Testament, but that's actually wrong, because although the word fasting does not come up often, the concept of what fasting is does come up over and over again. If we recall the words of Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7, how many times can you count in the New Testament where we are told to 1. Deny self, loose the bonds of injustice, and to care for the poor. It's a constant underlying theme throughout the whole New Testament, isn't it? Anyway, so to start bringing this all together, let's revisit some key ideas here. First up, the whole theme of fasting, or dedicating time, is not to focus on ourselves. So first up, it's not focused on self. And secondly, God's idea of fasting is to loose the bonds of injustice, to free the oppressed, and to clothe and feed the poor. Thirdly, if we do the things God has asked, then we know with 100% certainty that God will strengthen and guide us through good times and bad. And lastly, we know that we need to work on building habits to especially take time to do what our Creator has asked, and let our light shine. So, all in all, I think we can say that true fasting that is acceptable to the Lord is simply this: to try our utmost to live righteously, avoiding sin, and to feed the hungry and help relieve the burdens of others. And as we come to the end limbs now, who better shows us this example than our Saviour Jesus himself? It is through his example in life that we're here today. So let's remember our Saviour's words: Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls, because my yoke is pleasant, and my burden is light.